Thank you, Sharon. The Lord said, ask and you shall receive. And another place he said, you have not because you ask not. Singing these hymns is a good way to ask. So many of these hymns we sing are prayers, such as that one, paraphrasing what we just read. For blessings now, O Lord, I humbly plead. Good way to prepare your heart. May the Lord answer that collective prayer of His church tonight. Matthew 26 is our text tonight. Matthew 26, we pick up where we've been studying at various times, either the Bible study or Wednesday night. Matthew 26. Let's read. There's just seven verses we're going to look at. Matthew 26, the last seven verses, beginning with verse 69. Now let's go back and read. Let's read verse 31. Let's read verse 31 through 35 and then jump to 69. Verse 31. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. And Jesus said unto him, verily, I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Now verse 69. Now some time, several hours took place or went by. Verse 69. Now Peter sat without in the palace, outside of where they took the Lord in to try him. And a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before everyone there, before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again Peter denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began Peter to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. I started to entitle this message, The Call, Confession, Cursing, Conviction, and Comfort of Simon Peter. But that's too long. So Sam, you don't have to type that. Instead, we just entitled it Simon Peter. Simon Peter. Now, every believer, every true believer can relate to Simon Peter. Probably more so than any of the other disciples. I know I do. Simon Peter was up one day, down the next. He was hot one minute, cold the next. He was bold as a lion one minute, and scared to death the next. A coward. Anybody else? And I thank God for writing this story. I thank God for writing the story of Simon Peter for me to read. Whatsoever things are written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope, Paul said. The last part of this chapter that we just read is Peter's denial of the Lord. And it was a terrible thing, wasn't it? Sad time in Peter's life. I'm sure Peter wished it had never happened. You know it did. You know he did. I told Brother Gabe this morning, we were talking about this a little bit. I told him, I bet that Peter, the man, wished the Lord hadn't written it down in the book for everybody to read about him. You reckon? But I'm sure glad he did. Aren't you? I'm glad the Lord did. Simon Peter's story didn't start here. And thank God it didn't end here. If you had, what would you say of Simon Peter if you just opened the Scriptures and read right there? What would you think about this man? What if you opened the Scriptures like Genesis, is it 13 or 14, where Abraham, 12, chapter 12. Right after the Lord called him, Abraham went down to Egypt with Sarah and denied his wife. What would you think if that's all you read about Abraham? What would you think about him? What would you think about Lot? If all you read was about his being in Sodom, what would you think about David if you picked it up and read where he down 1 Samuel 29, where he was down in Gath? Or when he played the madman. What would you think? Aren't you glad there's a rest of the story? I know David is. I know Abraham is. I know Peter is. I thought we read Psalm 139 because I believe it was probably Peter's favorite psalm. Oh, Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. That's what Peter pleaded with the Lord when the Lord called him after the Lord arose, you know. Something struck me while we were reading that. I'd never seen it before. The Lord said, I will go before you. He said to all his disciples, Judas was not there. But he said to the rest of them, the 11, he said, all of you will deny me tonight, but I'm going to go before you into Galilee. Meaning, they're going to be there, all of them. Not one of them missing. Peter is going to be there. And that the Lord, two of the sweetest words Peter ever heard was, the Lord said, go tell my disciples and Peter. And Peter. And I know that Peter loved Psalm 139. Lord, you know me. You searched me. You know me. That's what he said to the Lord there in the end. He said, Lord, thou knowest. You know all things. You know about me. Thou knowest my down city, my uprising, my thoughts afar off. You know everything about me. I'm sure he read this. Lord, you all in thy book, everything about me was written. Everything about me. Every believer's life, like Peter's, we read his life is there for us to read it. At least 3.5 years of it. And every believer's life is written in God's book. The Lamb's book of life. Every believer. Oh, yes. That's what we read in Psalm 139. The stories we read in Hebrews 11 Sunday, remember? We read all those stories. Not all of them, but you've read them with me before. Ours is there too. Yes, they are. All of God's people, their stories are written. We spend our lives as a tale that is told. A tale that is told. God wrote it. And the last words, I bet you the last words of the sweet psalmist of Israel were some of David's favorite words too. They are mine. They should be every sinner's. He said this, "Sweet psalmist of Israel wrote these sweet last words the Lord led him to. He said, Thou hast made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. And this is all my salvation." Isn't that your... What the world hates. We sang about God's predestinating, sovereign predestinating grace, ordering all things for His people. What the world hates, the believer rests his soul upon. The God of Israel hath made with all of His people through Christ an everlasting covenant, and it's ordered in all things and sure, and that's all our salvation. And really, it's all our desire. That's what we want to look into. We keep coming back each week to hear the will read. God's will. And that all the blessings of God are in Christ, and they're yea and amen. Over there in Hebrews 11, I mentioned that. God wrote of the living, and listen to this. You're going to, some of us stopped and we talked about this after the sermon. We continue. Those of you who want to meet with us again, we continue back in the foyer nearly after every service and keep preaching to one another. People say things I wish I'd have said, but I'd spend too much time as it is. And anyway, we were talking about back there, and I'll say it again. God wrote that book, Hebrews 11, that chapter in His book of the living and dying faith of His saints. And He never mentions one sin of any of them. In that book, in Hebrews 11, all those saints are mentioned by God, but He doesn't bring up one fault. He wrote that as if they were faultless, unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight. They are. They are. Though every one of them, like Peter, took terrible falls, didn't they? He mentions Noah. Don't you know Noah wishes that the Lord hadn't written what he did right after the ark rested? Huh? Abraham, mentioned Abraham, David, and on. Yet God presents them in His book as unblameable. Because they all, we started this, that study of faith. We started it out where everything starts, the object of faith. One Lord. They all had one Lord, one faith. What is that one faith? In that one Lord. One hope of their calling. One hope. One Father, God, and Father of them all. Christ, the firstborn of many brethren. Now, as we said, Simon Peter's story didn't begin here. Let's go back to Matthew 4. Go back where it did begin, at least where the Lord began writing it. Here he sits over there in the last part with these bunch of no-good people. And believe me, those people that were hanging around outside that place, they were bloodthirsty. They wanted to see some blood. That's what people do when catastrophes happen. That's right. People gather. Why? Because they want to see the carnage. That's right. That's the only thing reported in the paper, isn't it? Because people like it. And those bunch of no-goods were gathered outside the hall, the judgment hall, waiting to see somebody crucified. And Peter was with a bunch of no good. These were no good people that he was with. He had no business there, did he? Bunch of no goods, and you find him cursing and swearing, don't you? Matthew 4, look where the Lord found him in the first place. Now, this account is given in all four Gospels, different aspects of the same account. This is Simon's calling. Chapter 4, verse 18, the Lord Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea. They were fishers. They were fishermen. The Lord Jesus Christ, in Luke's account, it says the Lord saw them washing their nets. They had already been fishing. Perhaps he was watching from a distance and watching them out there in their boats toiling. They toiled all night, it said, and they didn't catch a thing. You reckon they were in a good mood? You reckon, Ron, they were in a good mood? They fished. This was their living. Commercial fishermen. They toiled all night long and didn't catch a minnow. And they were in washing their nets in the morning. And the Lord then came after they tried everything, you see. The Lord waited like old Lazarus. He waited until he was stinking. And the Lord waited until they'd given up. And the Lord came to where they were, and he told Simon Peter, he said, launch your boat out and cast your net right over there. Now, I want you to be honest. What do you think that this old rough fisherman, what do you think went through his head? What do you think he uttered under his breath? Huh? Have you ever watched that show on TV, the Deadliest Catch, where it's all about commercial fishermen? They go out in Alaska and spend, a month at sea. Dangerous. Those guys are the roughest fellows you'll ever see in your life. You wouldn't want to be around them. You wouldn't want your daughter around them, that's for sure. Vile, filthy talking. And that was these men. That's right. That was Simon Peter. See, he came by that cussing and swearing naturally. And what do you think he thought when this teacher came by and said, launch your nets, launch your boat out there? He said, Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Can you believe this, Andrew? But he thought, we're going to teach him a lesson. Nevertheless, that's your word. We'll do it. And launched their boat out, and you know the story. The Lord displayed to them who it was that passed by that day. His sovereign power. He's the master of the sea. Not only billows, but fish his will obey. And their nets were so full of fish they couldn't get them in. And that's when Peter said this. This is Luke's account. He said, something happened. Something happened to Peter right then and there. He said, depart from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. He thought, this is not just some teacher here. This is God. That's what he said, like a thief on the cross. He didn't know it, but he did then. Lord, you're coming into your kingdom. Peter said, if he knows where the fish are and commands the fish into my net, he knows my thoughts. He knows everything about me. He knows I just cussed him. He knows me. And the Lord revealed a little bit of Peter's self to Peter. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to call sinners to repentance. Didn't come to call the righteous. I love those words of the Pharisees. They meant it in derision of the Lord. But it's my comfort. They said, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them, sups with them. That's good news, isn't it?
The Lord came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You've heard us. We all think that we ought to put on the top of our church house, sinners only. No good people need apply. But even at that, aren't some of you formerly self-righteous, good people glad that the Lord saved some self-righteous people? Aren't you glad? Huh? The Lord came to save sinners. The Lord came to find His lost sheep. All His sheep were lost when He found them. The Lord came to where Simon Peter was. The Lord had him there that day. And Simon, and Andrew. The Lord had James and John. Remember the story, we considered how that there were many boats out in that water. Many boats. This was a Sea of Galilee, and it wasn't a big place. And anybody that was in the... That was the chief livelihood of men back then. And there were many boats out there that day. But the Lord came to two boats. There may have been 200 boats, but the Lord set His eye on two of them. Four men in two boats. He came to where they were. He had them there, ready to meet, like the woman at the well. He called four of them. He found Simon. The Lord found Simon. Simon wasn't looking for the Lord. Andrew wasn't looking for the Lord, was he? James and John weren't seeking the Lord. They weren't talking. What if Jesus of Nazareth was going to come? They weren't interested. But the Lord came looking for them. And He found them, you see. Whoever He goes looking for, He finds them. And He found Simon, and this is what he was, a fisherman. Well, old Simon and all of them, they did what they were told, not knowing that they themselves were being caught. They launched those nets out to catch some fish, not knowing that they themselves were being caught right then and there in a net, the gospel net. That's what our Lord says, the gospel's a net. Takes in all manner, out of every tribe, kindred, nation, and tongue under heaven. All manner. They've just been caught. So the Lord Jesus Christ sovereignly, mercifully, powerfully called old Simon Peter and Andrew and James and John. He said, follow me. Didn't ask. Didn't bribe them. He just sovereignly, where the word of a king is, there's power. He said, follow me. What'd they do?
They followed him.
They were inexplicably drawn to this man. Peter couldn't explain it himself. James and John got out of the boat and started walking down the shore behind and their father. Their father was fishing. Their father, I'm sure he said, where are you all going? You stay here and help me. Dad, we quit. We got to follow him. Inexplicably drawn. They dropped everything. Their whole life, they dropped it. Meant nothing to them from there on. Now, what is this if it's not the new birth? Something that was never there before. Something that was never there before. Old things passed away. All things become brand new. New life, new master. They were under a master before. And the Lord Jesus Christ, whom they did not know, but who knew them, yea, before the world, I knew thee. And he knew them, and he came to find them, and he found every one of them, and he called them. And he led captivity captive. Simon, Andrew, James, John, new men. New creatures. But now hold on a minute. I heard a man wrongly quote that, 2 Corinthians 5, it says all old things have passed away, all things have become new. He said all old things are not passed away. Well, it doesn't say that. It doesn't read that. There's an old man that's still in every believer. Scripture's very clear about this. it even mentions the old man many times. It says, put off the old man, put on the new. There's an old man. There was an old man still in Simon. The Lord changed his name, didn't it, to Peter. But Simon was still there. An old man. It would not go away. An old man named Simon that was born a sinner, a no good sinner, named Simon, who hated God, never gave God a thought. That old man was enmity against God. Old Simon was still there in him. Still there. And he was not going to go away until the Lord had Simon crucified and that body of death laid down. And the same is true about every single child of God. There's an old man that's not going to go away. And he's not going to get any better. Not going to get any better. And that old man is what came out 3 years later in old Simon. Go back to our text. That old man is what came out 3.5 years later when he was sitting by this fire. According to the Lord's purpose, the Lord did this to humble Peter, didn't it? Had Peter not said what he said, he still would have been offended and left, because the Scripture says so, right? But since Peter opened his big mouth, Peter got a little bit lifted up with pride and self-righteousness. He said, all these may, not me. So the Lord's going to humble him. The Lord will humble his people. This whole thing, this whole life that believers live is a lesson in humility. And the way in which God does it the best is to let us see our old self. Just let him pop up his ugly head every now and then. If we begin to lose sight of what we were when the Lord found us and what we're capable of, except for his restraining grace, we'll get a little puffed up, won't we? But the Lord won't let that happen. One time, my pastor preached a message. He was standing back in the, not this pulpit, but where he pastored, and he was standing back in the foyer, and a man came by and was bragging on the preaching. What a good message it was. He just kept going on. And finally said to my father, he said, oh, but I don't want to puff you up. And my dad said to him very sternly, I was standing there. He said, you don't have to worry about that. That's not yours to do. The Lord will take care of that. And he will, in all of his people. He's not going to let us get puffed up. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day. And in our minds and our hearts always. The humble Peter, that old man was left there, and he's left in us to keep us humble. Why? To show us that without Christ, we can do nothing. I mean, the Lord told him, you're going to deny me three... Not me. It was just wasn't a few hours later till he did just what he said he wouldn't do. And so it is with us. And to show us our desperate need of Christ at all times. Without him, we can do nothing. And for our comfort, the Lord recorded this of old Peter, for our comfort, because the best of men will fall. And just as soon as you begin to be too confident in anybody, Lord, they'll disappoint you. The Lord will see to it. Somebody was bragging on me recently in public, and I said, you're setting me up for a fall. Don't do that. But for our comfort, the best of men fall, and for our learning, our warning, Had Peter said, "Lord, God willing," the Lord told us to pray this way, "Lord, if you be willing, I'll not deny you." I don't believe he would have. But he didn't say that, did he? So it's for our learning to warn us. The old Simon came out in Peter, and it was bad, wasn't it? Look here at our text. And I like this, though. Right in the middle of this, something stood out to me. What made me want to deal with this? Right in the middle of Peter's denial, there's hope that Peter is one of the Lord's. There's hope that Peter is not a reprobate. Though he denies the Lord, there's something undeniable in Simon Peter. Let me say that again. Though he denies the Lord, there's something in Simon Peter that's undeniable. Look at it. Verse 73. This is the third time somebody came to him. They all recognized him. And the third time, someone after a while came unto him and stood by and said to Peter, "Surely thou art one of them. Your speech bewrayeth you." I don't care what you say. I know you're one of them. Your speech gives you away. Did you catch that when you read that? Oh, my. His speech generally, Peter's speech generally was seasoned with salt. That's what the Scripture says, that your speech be seasoned with salt, seasoned with grace. How you know how you ought to answer everyone. Generally speaking, had you talked to Peter, he'd be a kind man, wouldn't he? A civil man, civil tongue, giving praise, talk about Christ, wouldn't he? He knew the Lord. Yes, he did. As we said, the Lord allowed Peter to, one time before he denied him, allowed him to confess him. And he was defending our Lord's honor, wasn't he, when he took out that sword. The Lord did that. And, my. But a few instances of cursing and bitterness do not make a man a curser and bitter. You understand? A moment left to himself, he finds himself cursing and bitter and swearing, doth not mean that he's a reprobate man. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Listen to this. Listen carefully to what I say. Just as someone cannot pretend to be what he is not, Judas could not, he tried, he could not, finally his sin found him out. He was a reprobate man. He's going to come out. Just as one cannot pretend to be what they are not, one cannot pretend not to be what they are. Did you catch that? Let me say it again. Are you listening? You'll get great comfort if you just listen to it. Just as one cannot pretend to be what they aren't, what they're not, one cannot pretend not to be what they are. You are what you are. Let me give you a good illustration. They said your speech bewrayeth you. The word, that's doesn't betray. Bewray, it means clear evidence. Bewray. The only time it's used. It's clear evidence who you're with. But you're one of, surely you're one of them. You talk like him. Can an Englishman ever pass himself off as an American? Have you ever known an Englishman to pass himself off as an American? You have me done. I just can't get rid of that accent, or vice versa. For that matter, can a Kentuckian
or whatever.
Huh?
You are what you are. You are what you are.
Scripture says, as he is, so are we. Peter didn't think so a little while later, did he?
He didn't think so. Oh, I'm not one of his disciples. Yeah, Peter, your speech berates you. Surely you're one of them. I know what you said. I heard what you said. I know how you acted.
And I allowed that to happen. Our salvation is this. Here's our salvation. The Lord knoweth them that are his. This foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Uh-huh. They're his. He made them his. He cannot deny them that are his. Don't you love that verse where it says, if we deny him, he's faithful. He can't deny himself. He can't deny himself. The Lord will never deny his wife, his bride. She did him. Does him, son. Peter did. The Lord can't deny. Can't deny. And though we have denied the Lord, every believer in here has at one time denied the Lord. We deny the Lord by what we don't say sometimes. Though every believer has denied the Lord, not only that way, but our actions sometimes deny him. And though we will deny him again, and we'll smart for it, hopefully we'll weep bitterly over it. But like Peter, we cannot finally deny him. Can't do it. His seed remains in us. That's what John said. When John talking about the that sinneth not, he that is born of God sinneth not, for his seed remaineth in him. Now that's the good news of the gospel. That Christ can't deny you. And what he's done, faithful is he that has begun a good work in you, he'll finish it. It is God which worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. David wrote this in the Psalms. He said, thou hast ordained, wrought all my works in me, for me. And we just read that in Psalm 139. Everything about me has been written in a book. My falls, my down sittings, my uprisings. My cursing, my swearing, my bitterness, my praise, my thanksgiving. It's all there in a book. Sealed, Nancy. It's sealed. Gonna open it up in the end time. Gonna open it up. The Lord's gonna read it to us. Boy, we're gonna be so thankful that he made this covenant concerning us. But Peter wept bitterly, didn't he? And I close with this. Peter wept bitterly, verse 75. You ever wept bitterly? He went out and wept bitterly. You ever wept bitterly? I don't mean over just some losses or whatever. I mean over yourself. Your sinful self. Every believer has. Surely they have. They have and they do and they will. Before this thing's over, you'll weep bitterly again over something you've said and done and wish you had never, ever happened. Peter wept bitterly. But right before his death, let me read this to you over here in 1 Peter. Right before his death, he said, the Lord showed me that I must lay down this tabernacle. And he said, I want to remind you some things before I die. I just want to remind you. The Lord led him to write this letter. And he wrote this letter to all the saints. And he said, he hadn't spoken long, but he said, we're elect. We're elect according to the foreknowledge of God. He went on and said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his abundant mercy hath begotten us, given birth to us, to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, and reserved in heaven for you. It's reserved For you who? You who are kept by the power of God. Peter says, I know. I know from experience. And he went on to say, oh, you greatly rejoice, but now you're going through these trials, tried with fire, but it's going to be found unto praise and honor. Whose? Christ. And glory at the appearing of Christ, whom having not seen, you love. You do, don't you? The Lord said, Peter, do you love me? He didn't ask anybody else. You think Peter loves me? Huh? Oh, Peter, do you love me? Lord, thou knowest. Yea, Lord, I do. And over in chapter 2, he said this to us. He said, you were as sheep going astray. It's the last thing David wrote in the psalm, wasn't it? You know what the last verse in the psalm is? Psalm 119, that is. Last verse. He said, seek me. I'm a lost sheep. Seek me. But he said, you were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul. Old Peter denied the Lord, but he's now returned, according to God's sovereign mercy and grace. That's the good news. That's the good news. And surely, Paul said this to the Hebrews over in chapter 10. He said, exhort one another daily, so much more as you see the day approaching. Don't forsake the assembly of yourselves so as the manner of some is, but exhort one another. And he said this. He went on to say this. Oh, there's a fearful looking for judgment for some. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God and call to remembrance the former day. He went on to say, a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. The just shall live by faith. If any man draw back, have no pleasure in it. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them which believe to the saving of our souls. Surely you're one of them. Your speech betrays you. Though you deny it. Christ can't deny himself and what he's created in you. It's there. Christ in you. That's your hope of glory. Okay, stand with me. Our Lord, thank you for your abundant mercy and grace to such vile sinners. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your word, the word of truth, the incorruptible seed by which we're born again. Thank you, Lord, for that which you have created. Though it doth not yet appear what we shall be, we say, Lord, with the hymn writer of old, we're not what we want to be, not what we're going to be, not what we ought to be, but, oh, Lord, thank you. Not what we used to be, but there's a new creature you've created. Lord, we ask that you cause him to grow in grace. Let not the old man, sin, have dominion over us. You promised he wouldn't. I ask that you'd cause this new man to grow in grace, the knowledge and the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Conform us to his blessed image. Crucify the old man with his affections and lusts thereof, we pray. We ask for thy glory, for thy honor, according to the riches of thy glory, and according to your promises, we plead your promises. Bless your people, Lord. Restrain them. Keep them from the evil one. Cause us to look to thee at all times. It's in Christ's name we are met here tonight for his honor and glory. Amen. You're dismissed.